I began a word last week. I didn't think I had much left to finish the word, so I wasn't sure if I would go any further with it or not. I stopped at a certain place, didn't have much left, and figured that might be the end of it. But I had another word stirring also, and for this last several weeks, I've wondered if I should share it just a little bit. And no. And then this week, the Lord just began to talk to me about that. I'm like, where does this work together? How does this work? So I want to talk to you again this morning because He knows how to make it all work together, doesn't He? I mean, it's His word, right? Hello? He knows how to pull it all together. And if you were not here last week, I began talking about the fear of the Lord, and I would like to encourage you to listen online to that word. It would lay a really good foundation of even where I'm going today. I'll touch back on some things today, but that word last week really was a great start, I felt like. Even for where we're going this morning. So before we get started, let's pray. Lord, we thank You again for Your presence. We thank You for who You are, and we thank You for Your word. Your word is so precious to us, Lord, as is Your presence. And we are so grateful that we are a privileged people. Many people just have a little torn shred out of a Bible and they hold on to that for years and years and years. And we have multiple translations on our shelves. We are a blessed people. May we never take for granted the privilege we have to have Your written word. Your word spoken to us, and the privilege that we have to get into Your word and trust the Holy Spirit to cause it to come alive in our hearts. That's what we ask You right now, Holy Spirit. Cause this word to come alive in our hearts. Cause what You did in me in causing it to come alive in me. Reveal and cause it to come alive in the hearts of Your people. In Jesus' name, we thank You for it. We ask these things. Amen. If you'll turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, I'm going to just go back and just quickly do a little bit of review. You know, I look around, and I shared this last week, I look around and you see no fear of God in the world. You see all the things, violence and the things that people will do to other people. You know, and just going into stores and just wiping off shelves and dumping it into a garbage bag and just running in, ransacking the place. Anybody gets in the way, you know, and they shoot them or either they're afraid to do anything because they know how violent they are. And just go, it like, there's no fear of God to do anything you want to do. But then I realized there's no fear in the church. I'm not going to say there's no fear, but you don't see the fear of God in the church at large like we should be seeing. And if there's not the fear of the Lord in the church, then why would you see the fear of the Lord in the world? Right? I mean, if we don't fear God in our own lives, and when I say we, I'm talking about the whole body of Christ. If we don't fear God in our own lives, then why would the world fear God, right? So, in Malachi last week, I touched on this just a second. But the Lord said to Israel, He said, My name is to be feared among the Gentiles. My name is to be feared among the nations. But you've profaned it. You've despised it. You've dishonored it. And you've dishonored me. And that kind of helps understand why it's not feared among the nations. Because his own people weren't fearing his name. So why would the nations fear him, right? It kind of helps you understand why. In Exodus chapter 20, God had just, through Moses, led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said in chapter 20, verse 18, there they are at Mount Sinai. And it says, all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. And that was scary. It was a fearful thing to behold. The power of God. And they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. Moses said to the people, do not fear, for the Lord has come to test you that his fear may be before you so that you may not sin. And this verse 20 said, do not fear, for the Lord has come to test you that his fear would be before you. And we talked about this a minute last week, but I just feel like we need to touch back on this again because the more we get a hold of it, the more we hear it, the more we get it in our spirit. The fear of the Lord is the most, because you see here two fears. The fear of the Lord is the most natural response that they would have, you know, standing before a holy, righteous, majestic, sovereign God. The most natural thing to see the power and position of Almighty God, it would produce great awe and reverence and the fear of the Lord and the extreme depth desire to obey Him, right? So this fear is based in honor and awe and in love, and it's based in who God is. The fear of the Lord is based in who God is. That's the thing we have to remember about that. You can't help when you behold who He is but to fear Him. But then the fear that came as a result of the fall, which is the fear that we deal with in this natural realm, that we as humans often deal with. In Genesis 3, what had happened was when Adam disobeyed the Lord, the glory that had covered him departed from him. And now he's standing there realizing his own sin nature, his nakedness, and he hid himself from the Lord. The Lord calls out to him in Genesis 3, I think verse 10, and he said, where are you? And he said, I realized I was naked and I was afraid and I hid. So this fear is based in sin consciousness. The fact that God is no longer present on my life, it's based in guilt and shame and terror. And this fear is really the foundation of it is based in who I am. He realized who he was without God. So the fear of God is fear that's based in a realization of who he is. And the fear that we often deal with in our flesh and in the world is the fear of who we are. It's really based in who we are, realizing our own weakness, our own frailty, our own inabilities. You see that? You know, the Lord doesn't really want us living in that place. He doesn't. You see it throughout His Word. It's not the place He wants us living in. You know, but when you think about it, fear of weather, fear of people, fear of sickness, or fear of where my finances are concerned, or you name any kind of fear, it's based in my own inability to fix it, my own inability to whatever the situation might be, my own inability, my own frailty. The Lord doesn't want us to live there, but He wants us to have a healthy dose of the fear of God. Because when we fear God, then we don't fear man. We don't fear these other things when we fear God. Because we're not looking at who we aren't. We're looking at who He is. Right? All right. So God says to Moses, don't tell them, don't fear. Don't have the fear that's based in your lack and your inability. But instead, I've come to test you that my fear, the fear of me, the honor, the deep respect and awe and obedience based on the greatness and power and might of who I am would be before you so that you don't sin. And we saw last week that the fear of the Lord will keep you, it'll keep you from sin in your life. You won't do and say and go and so forth the things you used to do when you have the fear of God in your life. When you realize He's present, you don't want to go where you used to go. You don't want to do what you used to do. You don't want to talk like you used to talk, do you? If we were aware He was right here with us, or He was right there with us at home, would we continue to say and do and act some of the ways we do? Like if we started to do something and Jesus walked in the room, what would you do? You'd freeze. Fall. But see, He is with us. He is with us. He is with us. We also saw in Psalm 31 that there's protection in the fear of the Lord. In Psalm 25, there's direction in the fear of the Lord. We saw in Deuteronomy, there's blessing in the fear of the Lord. He wants it to go well with us, that when we fear Him, things go well with us. He said, you're to teach it to your children and your children's children, so it'll go well with them as well. It's generational. Then we saw with King Saul that he feared the people more than he feared God. He cared what the people thought about him more than he cared to obey what God had said. And even when God removed the anointing from him, even when the prophet told him, the kingdom has been removed from you, that God's rejected you from being king. Even when he told him that, Saul wanted to be restored in the eyes of the people. He still cared about the people and what people thought. How embarrassing this is in front of the people. Are y'all with me? In Malachi, we talked just a little bit about Malachi last week. And I want to tell you a few things of what God said to the priests because of their lack of the fear of the Lord. Okay? Their lack of respect and honor and awe and obedience to who He is. Okay? He said, I'll curse your blessings. See, now we just talked about what happens when you're walking in the fear of the Lord, the blessing over your life. But He's saying, I'll curse your blessings. This is what He said to the priest. You can read it. I just jotted down scripture by scripture. I'll rebuke your descendants. See, now we're to teach our children and our children's children the fear of the Lord so it will go well with them for generations. He's saying, when you don't fear me, I'll rebuke your descendants. This next one, he said, I'll spread refuse on your faces. And I looked it up. It says dung. Read it. It's in my Bible. It's in yours too. I'll spread dung on your faces. I'll make you contemptible and base before all the people. And that word contemptible said dishonored and despised. And the word base said, I'll bring you down and humiliate you. So listen, he said, I'll make you dishonored, despised, and I'll bring you down and humiliate you before all the people. That'll get you from, keep you from caring what people think, huh? Well, I'll tell you, when we care what everybody else thinks, God's like, I really don't. I can fix that in your life. You know, I can fix that for you if you need me to. I can humiliate you. That's yikes, huh? Now listen to what they were doing. You keep reading. What is it that the priests were doing? This is how they showed no fear of God, no honor, no respect, and so forth. They defiled, they polluted, they dishonored the table of the Lord by bringing the sick, stolen, lame, blemished, blind, crappy sacrifices. They brought the stuff that wasn't valuable anyway. Nobody cared about that stuff, those ones anyway. They were irreverent. There was neither truth nor justice on their lips. They didn't walk in peace, but they walked in strife. They caused others to stumble because of their poor example, because of their lifestyle. They showed partiality to God's law, to His Word. Well, some things they kept and some things they didn't keep. They showed partiality. Well, I just don't think He really means that. Well, I just don't think you're God, you know. I think you need to talk to Him about what He meant, right? He said it. They profaned the holy institute of the marriage covenant. Now, we know what that's talking about where adultery is concerned. But the Bible tells us in the new covenant, Jesus says, if you look at another woman with lust toward her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So it goes beyond just outward action. It's an action of your heart. It's a condition of the heart. They'd gone away from God's word, from His ordinances. They murmured and complained in serving God. In other words, well, I've done this and I've done that and I've done so and so and it doesn't profit. I mean, He ain't done nothing over here and look what happens in His life. And I've done all this and that and that. Are y'all hearing me? And murmuring and complaining about those things. It's disrespectful to God. Doesn't show the fear of the Lord. Our God is too holy, too righteous, too great, and too powerful for us to mess around with like this. Amen. Amen. So I want to see, it's like the Lord just really put this almost like a burden in my heart to see the fear of the Lord restored to the church. And I believe that when we see the fear of the Lord restored to the church, then I believe we're going to see the restoring of the power of God in the church and through God's people's lives. You know, I told Cookie the other day, it's almost like this two-sided thing. Okay, hear me. On the one hand, the greatness and demonstration of God's power causes people to fear Him. Right? And we're going to look at some more of that in the Word. But then on the other hand, when we walk in the fear of the Lord, God demonstrates His power through us. So it's like, I mean, seeing His power demonstrated causes the fear of the Lord, but when I fear Him, it causes His power to be demonstrated. So turn with me to the one that nobody likes to hear about, this story in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. Nobody likes that one. It's just scary all the way around, right? Acts chapter 5. So what had happened, I really don't want to talk so much about them, but just to make sure you know the story, what had happened was God had been moving so powerfully. People were being healed. People were coming into the kingdom of God. It was an amazing time in the church. And a lot of people wanted to sell land and things that they had and bring the sale of it, bring the money to the church to bless the church, to bless the work of the ministry. So people were selling their lands, bringing it, laying it at the apostles' feet. Here, use this for the kingdom of God. Ananias and Sapphira owned land and they sold it and they got $1,000 for it and they brought, say, I don't know, $100. $50, I don't know. They brought part of it, a portion of it, say $500. They brought a portion of it and said, oh, we sold our land and wanted to bring you all that we... They made out like, and if you read the story, you'll see, they made out like that everything they'd gotten, they brought it all for the kingdom of God. When that wasn't true. And what Peter was saying to them was, listen, it's your land to do with what you want. Nobody told you you had to sell it. Nobody told you had to give any of it. It's your land to do with however you want. But why would you lie to the Holy Ghost about it? Why would you do that? And the man fell over dead. So then, I think it said about 3 hours later, his wife comes in. They've already carried him out. And so they ask her about it, and she tells the same lie. And they said, the feet of your husband just got drug out of here, and pretty much you're going to... And she fell over dead for lying to the Holy Ghost. It wasn't like anybody was going to make them give all that money. It wasn't like that at all. It was all given out of choice. The key is they're lying before God. Which was, there's no fear of the Lord. Now look at what happened in verse 11. Now I'm going to go back to verse 9. Peter said, how is it that you agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they're going to carry you out. It's kind of funny, but it's not. It's not. I mean, the way it's worded is funny, but it's not. Verse 11, so great fear came upon all the church and upon all those who heard this. You think so? And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. In other words, there was great reverence and respect, even for the people of God, that the power of God is working through. Like, we don't mess with this. We're not, you don't want to joke and laugh on this matter. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. You know, it reminded me of what the Lord said in Malachi. Among the Gentiles, my name is to be feared. It's to be feared among the Gentiles. Boy, oh boy, was that happening, right? It goes on and said in verse 15, they brought the sick out into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. The Greek word there for shadow is actually overshadow, and I'm not even going to pretend like I could tell you this Greek word. But it's used exclusively for the power of the Almighty overshadowing Mary when she conceived the Son of God, and the cloud that overshadowed Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration. And this same place, this supernatural overshadowing of God's power, was working through Peter, healing the sick. I mean, they're just, that his shadow would just, it just would overshadow them. Also, a multitude gathered from surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people, those who were tormented by unclean spirits. They were all healed. They were all healed. That's powerful. That's powerful. So when you see the fear of the Lord restored, you really begin to see the power of God released. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, seeing God move powerfully, seeing demonstration of the power of God, it brings the fear of God. I mean, we just saw that. But then at the same time, when the fear of God is present, it causes more great manifestation. That's powerful to me. Turn over to Acts chapter 19. And this is talking about Paul here. going through and preaching. I'm kind of jumping midway on this, but it says, this continued, verse 10, for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then, listen to this, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, and they were saying, we exorcise you by the name of Jesus who Paul preaches. And then there were also 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. They're going and saying, we command you to come out by the name of the Jesus that Paul preaches about. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on those 7 sons, overpowered them, prevailed against them, and they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And it goes on and said, this became known to all the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. That's powerful. Fear fell on them all. Wasn't the fear of those devils. It was not the fear of those devils. It was the fear of God and the fact that in His name alone, those people were getting free. It was the fear of the greatness of His name, and that His name can't be used and slung around loosely, but you better know Him yourself. Amen? It was the fear of knowing it's the name of Jesus that is known in hell, has authority over hell, and authority over demon spirits. The fear of the Lord came on them because they encountered the power and awe and greatness of the name of Jesus. That's why the fear of the Lord came. Now, you should probably start praying for me at this point, my prayer warriors. Because this is the section, this is the part that the Lord's had on my heart. I have notes that I had for a couple of weeks about this, and I thought I would go here and didn't, like I said to you earlier. And let's just go there in Judges chapter 6. We've heard a lot about this story of Gideon and his small little army and how they overthrew the enemy, how God used them so powerfully and so forth. I'm not even going there. I need to talk about the preliminary part before all of that. That's where the Lord has my attention. And so it says, I just feel like there's something so powerful for us to get out of this today. For this church right now, this little few, to get out of this right now. It says the last little line of the previous chapter, last verse, so the land had rest for 40 years. Then, verse 1 of chapter 6, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves dens and caves and strongholds which were in the mountains. They're hiding out in the mountains. A hole in the mountains somewhere to hide out. And so it was, whenever Israel sowed, the Midianites would come up, also the Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, leaving no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their own livestock and with their tents and come in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would come into the land and destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. So that it wasn't that Midian lived there with them, but every time there was harvest time, Midian came in. The Midianites came in, and Amorites and others from the east would come in and steal their harvest. And they would sow and never reap harvest. Instead, Midian would steal it all. So in verse 7, it says, it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, thus says the Lord of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt. I brought you out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all who oppressed you. I drove them out before you. I gave you their land. Also, I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Their problem was what it was talking about in verse 1, because they did evil in the sight of the Lord. What they did was they were afraid. They feared the gods of Midian instead of God. They feared their gods instead of the Lord. They feared the gods of, listen to me, the world around them. Even built altars to them and sacrificed to them. And here is what the Lord said to me in response to this. He said, the reason the fear of God has been lost in the church is because the church has feared the gods in this world. And they've built altars to them to appeal to the world, to look like them, to look good, to make the world fit in comfortably in their midst, to go along with their trends, to be popular with them, to be liked by them, to satisfy the people, to accommodate the people, to preach messages that make them comfortable. We've made altars of convenience for them. There's drive-by services that you can have, I've heard. They preach messages that make them comfortable in compromise, in lukewarmness, and even in sin. They built altars with worship that's more about entertainment and hype and catering to the people and songs and styles that they like rather than appealing and catering to the one they're supposed to be worshiping. They're supposed to be worshiping the Lord, but they care what people think. They're afraid to address sin and call it sin. But instead they accommodate, they celebrate, they even ordain lifestyles, and they do it in the name of, well, Jesus loves everybody. Yes, He does. And so do we. So do we. But He does not love sin. And He sent His Son to deal with sin. And His word is clear on sin. The church must come out from under the fear of the gods of this world. Now, having the fear of these gods for Israel caused them to be under the oppression of the Midianites. I mean, they lived in caves and made strongholds in the mountains because of fear. And they were impoverished because of Midian. They feared them. Therefore, they built altars to them, worshipped them. Therefore, they were enslaved in bondage to them. And the Lord said, because the church has feared the world and the gods of the world, therefore they've built altars to them and worshiped them. Therefore they've become enslaved to them and they have had to become politically correct and had to accept whatever kind of lifestyle. Or they'll lose their numbers, they'll lose their money, they'll lose their buildings, they'll lose their programs, they'll lose face. They're afraid of these gods that the world worships. This is the part that got me when he said this. He said they're afraid of the gods that the world worships, as if your God is not great enough and amazing enough to serve just as he is. Verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash. That guy. While his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. He was scared. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." Wow. Now he's in here afraid, hiding out, trying to get a little bit of wheat and thresh it in a wine press. And this angel of the Lord calls him mighty man of valor. He said, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why is all this happening to us? Where are all the miracles our father told us about? Didn't the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? And now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Man, he must not have heard that prophet, huh? Yikes. And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours." He didn't look mighty to me, and I'm, you know, trying to picture this. But the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you will save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to them, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you will defeat the Midianites as one man." But now we see, if you'll read on a little further, before God used Gideon to defeat the Midianites and to save Israel from them, before that took place, the first thing that happened we see in verse 25. It came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, "Take your father's young bull, the second bull, 7 years old, tear down the altar of Baal that your father has built, cut down the wooden image that's beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock. In proper arrangement, take the second bull, offer us a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image that you cut down." In other words, before anything else is going to happen, he's got to tear down the altar that his father had built to Baal and cut down the wooden image that he had built and put beside it and take one of his father's bulls, 7 years old, and he's going to offer that bull. He's going to build an altar, use the wood, burn that wood, and sacrifice that bull unto the Lord. You see, before Gideon could do anything, he had to be responsible for his own house. He wasn't responsible for a neighbor's house. He wasn't responsible for the rest of them. But he had to be responsible in his own house. Before God would use him powerfully to defeat the enemy, and the power of this oppression broken off Israel, first things first, you got to deal with this sin. You got to tear down that altar. And I believe that the Lord is saying to us, for the fear of God to be restored to the church, there's got to be a tearing down of the fear of God in this, I mean, the fear of the gods of this world. The fear of man. The fear of what people will think of me. The fear of how I look, how I'm perceived, if I'm popular, if everybody likes me, if I'm politically correct. Do they accept me? How successful am I? How much money do I make? How do I fit in? Do they like me? Are y'all with me? We do care a whole lot about how people feel about us. And that can become a god. It can. It can become a god. We must allow the Holy Spirit to search our own hearts in this one. I mean, we just do. And I was thinking, like, help me out with this, Lord. And here's what he said. He said, you make up. It's the people who make up the church. Okay? It's the people. Just like Gideon was one of Israel. It's we are people who help make up the church. And then what we do is we just take responsibility in our own lives. We take responsibility for our own house. We allow Holy Spirit to search our own hearts. Is there a place of compromise in my own heart? Because I believe, because where I compromise could be that I have fear of man. I'm afraid of what somebody's going to think of me, or I'm afraid of this, or I'm afraid of that. And so I compromise. Like Saul. He was afraid of what the people thought. So he compromised what God told him to do. Right? So when we start seeing areas of compromise in us, we need to pay attention. Is there a lack of the fear of the Lord going on right here in an area of my heart, in my life? Can you see why? Are y'all with me okay? Okay. Holy Spirit, I can't convince them, that's you. You know, I had another thing that happened in my heart just yesterday afternoon. I got a hold of something. I wrote it out the best I could. When I sin, I immediately become aware of my own junk, right? I mean, like when we sin, we become aware of our own frailty, our own weakness, and our own junk. But then I'm afraid what you're going to think about me, right? I'm afraid of what somebody else might think about me, so I hide it. I mean, that's what Adam did. And this fear of man, this fear in man, this fear of man, will take me and cause me to run and hide from the Lord, where the fear of God will cause me to run to the Lord. We talked about that last week. Because I want to make it right with him quickly, right? I want to make things right with him. I don't want to ever displease him, right? Because I fear him. And he's too great and righteous and holy for me to be trifling with, right? For me to be messing around with. You don't be messing around with God. And I was thinking about that with, especially for like, church leaders and people in the body of Christ, because I want us, you know, I kind of feel like him, like Gideon, like we're the least in the tribe here, Lord. Why are you putting this word on our heart? Because I believe the Lord wants us as people who are part of the body of Christ, lets us deal with us. I mean, I can't deal with you. I just have to deal with where there's areas in me. And tear that stuff down and have the fear of the Lord well established in my own heart. Right? And then I want to pray for the rest of the body and other leaders. When you're why do you think leaders fall? I talked about this for a minute last week. John Bevere asked Jim Baker, when did you quit loving God? He said, I never quit loving God. I lost the fear of the Lord. You know, when he screwed up a little bit here and he messed up over there and he did that over there and he had that hard attitude over there, you got to hide that stuff because you're in a position where everybody's looking at you. And what is that? That's the fear of man. It's the fear of the God of this world. It isn't the fear of God. And that's the kind of stuff that happens in churches who begin to compromise here. Leaders begin to compromise there. And I don't even mean just in their own heart and in their own personal life. I mean with decisions in the church that begin to compromise things that aren't right in this word. Are y'all following me? Or am I preaching to me? And so I feel like that the Lord is saying, I'm talking to you about it. It doesn't matter. He may be talking to every other pastor in Goldsboro and the United States and all over the world today about this. If he is, that's awesome. I would be like, I'd be in the floor. I'd be floored like, wow. I mean, he could be. My point is, though, he said, I'm talking to you about it. And I want you to let me shine the light on your own heart. And let him do that all throughout your weeks and days and weeks ahead. Like, ooh, that's the fear of man right there. Ooh, that's fear of caring what Sally thinks or what, you know, the whoever thinks. Or, you know, I'm too worried about what they're going to think if I do this or that. And so I'm feeling like I can't deal with this situation. You see what I mean? And so we want the Lord to keep that ever before us because I want to walk in the fear of the Lord. I want to walk in the fear of the Lord. I don't want any other idol built up and erected in my heart. Amen. I do not. We are living in last days for sure. You know, you can look around and see the times, but you can really look around at Israel and see the times. You know what I'm saying? You can really see God's, we are moving quicker and quicker in a direction. It is not a time for us to be. I'm not saying this to produce fear. I don't like manipulation. I'm saying it sincerely though. It's not a day and an hour for us to be messing around. I want my heart right with God. I don't want anything that displeases him. And I want him to deal with me. And in doing so, then I can pray for other leaders. And we can pray for other leaders in the body of Christ. We can pray for other people in the body of Christ. And not only that, when we're walking in the fear of the Lord, we're going to see greater manifestation of his power through our lives. I believe that with all my heart. It's in his word. I can't help but believe it. We'll see it move powerfully. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to just give you an opportunity. If you want to come up here in this altar, or if you prefer to kneel right there at your seat, or wherever you need to be before the Lord. But I want you to take time. Just take a minute before the Lord. Lord, are there any places in my heart where I have feared man over you, or I've cared what people thought about me, or I've cared how I looked, or if people liked me, or, I mean, everybody wants to be liked. Come on. You know what I mean, though. Nobody likes being hated or disliked, but sometimes we want to be liked to the point that we do things and we compromise in ways. So, Lord, check our hearts. Holy Spirit, shed the light of your truth on our hearts. Help me see me. Help them see themselves. We don't look at anybody else. I got me to deal with. Show me any place in my heart, in my life, where I have fear of the gods of this world, the fear of those gods that control the world, like the fear of man. Show us, Lord, and we tear those altars down, and we set our heart. I will fear you and you alone, Lord. No other God before me. No other one I will fear but you, Lord. I will not fear man who has no power over my soul, but I will fear the one who has the power to send me to hell. You alone I will fear. Oh God, in this hour that we're in, as we're entering the close of this age, We pray for leaders in the body of Christ, other pastors and leaders. Those who have, especially those, they have a place of influence on people's lives. And if they fall, they can have a tendency to be ashamed. Want to hide it. Be afraid of what might happen to them, how they may look. You said some pretty powerful things to the priests in Malachi. Lord, we lift those pastors and leaders all over the nations of this world, those who pastor and lead in your church, in the church of the living God. We lift them up before you this morning. We pray for them. We pray, Lord, that they would have an encounter with you. Because if they have an encounter face to face with God Almighty, it will produce a holy fear of God in their heart when they see who you are. And we pray for the body of Christ, the same thing, Lord. Oh, that your body, that your church would rise up in the fear and awe and reverence, amazement, and deep, deep desire to obey you and to serve you with all our hearts. Lord, we pray that over your body as well. In Jesus' name. If anybody wants to come up for prayer, I want to invite you to come now.